We are coming tonight to study in the larger catechism the question number 143, which is the same as the ninth commandment in the shorter catechism, which I believe is number 78. Is that right? Let's see here. The ninth commandment is actually number 76 in the shorter catechism, the same as it is in the larger catechism, number 143. So we'll simply go over this one at the beginning. Which is the ninth commandment? The ninth commandment is, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Last week we emphasized the words, thou shalt not bear false witness. And tonight we are emphasizing the next word, against. And this ninth commandment is crystal clear. We are not to speak falsehood, especially we are not by falsehood to injure our neighbor. And that is the answer to the shorter catechism number 78, says that we are not to do anything injurious to our neighbor's good name. Now, we are to obey this commandment, thus preventing wrongful injury to our neighbor. There are several types of lies. There are several types of liars, or those bearers of falsehood. And I want to mention these just at the outset, and then we're going to go to a fairly long portion of Scripture because we want to hear from God Himself how He defines this matter of truth. First of all, there are malicious liars. And a malicious liar, of course, is one who tells lies to bring harm to a neighbor on purpose. This is always wicked. It is against the neighbor. So the first kind of liar, a malicious liar or a pernicious liar. Secondly, a jocular liar is one who tells lies in order to make others laugh or to make others think well of him. It is such a stretching of the truth that it is no longer truth. It is self-promoting rather than helping our neighbors. Deceiving a neighbor and saying, I was only joking. We have scripture for that in Proverbs chapter 26, verses 18 and 19. As a madman casting firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am I not in sport? What a terrible thing. Now, those are two types of liars. Then there is such a thing as a habitual liar. Some people are so wickedly unacquainted with truth that they lie hardly noticing what they have done. And if they happen to notice what they've done, they generally tell more lies, trying to make their other lies seem legitimate. Chain liars. So many in the world today. And then there is such a thing as a rash liar. And that is, you may have possibly experienced that in your life. You may have just been speaking and then suddenly got yourself tangled up and you didn't backtrack to correct it. You didn't really intend it, but it just came out that way. A rash liar is one who, by sudden surprise, may grossly exaggerate the truth. That happened in 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 30. If you remember,
In that chapter, Absalom had his servants to murder his brother Amnon. It was a gathering of all of David's sons together, having a feast. And while Amnon's heart was merry, they smote him and killed him. And so the brothers, all the other brothers, immediately fled the scene. The scripture says they got on their mules and they were heading back to Jerusalem where the father David was. But there was someone else that was nearby who picked up on the news and managed to outride them and beat them to Jerusalem. And then he brought these evil tidings to David in these words, 2 Samuel 13:30. Absalom had killed all the king's sons, and there is not one of them left, he said. Well, only one had been killed. And this certainly didn't help King David's heart to hear that all of his sons had been killed except Absalom. So the rash lie certainly didn't help in that terrible crisis. But we come to the fifth type of lie that we wanted to spend more time on tonight, because there is much scripture about this. And we're not even going to look at all the scripture that has to do with this matter of the lie of necessity. This lie can only be used in times of war, persecution, or matters of life and death. Remember the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. The words proceeding from your heart, out of your mouth, must not bring unjust harm or injury to your neighbor. In World War II, Winston Churchill called deception our bodyguard of lies. You know, deception is used in all wars, in probably every battle. So, in order to get the truth from God, let's go directly to the Lord Himself. Let's turn in our Bibles to Joshua chapter 8 and verse 1. Joshua chapter 8 and verse 1. If you remember what had happened, they had already, by the command and will of God, destroyed Jericho. Achan had taken those things that were forbidden. A terrible slaughter of Israeli soldiers at the city of Ai had taken place. Achan had been judged, and he and his were stoned and left a huge stone monument over them in the Valley of Achor. And here, they're wanting to know what to do. So the Lord speaks to Joshua in chapter 8. We'll begin at verse 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey unto yourselves, lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. This is God telling them to lay an ambush secretly. So Joshua rose and the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, behold, you shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city. And it shall come to pass when they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us, till we have drawn them from the city, for they will say, they flee before us, as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them. Then ye shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be when ye have taken the city that ye shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I have commanded you. Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai, and he took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. When they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city, and their liers in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. And it came to pass when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early. And the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at the time appointed before the plain. But he wist not that there were liers in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled away, fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. And they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel. And they left the city open and pursued after Israel. Now notice verse 18. Who's calling the shots here? And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thy hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place. And they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand. And they entered into the city and took it, and hasted and set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven. And they had no power to flee this way or that. And the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And the other issued out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side. And they smote them so that they let none of them remain or escape. Now you see, who directed them with this ambush? It was God who had them to rise up at that point and bring on the ambush. Okay. Now, this is very important. God told them how to deceive the men of Ai, and God told them when to move behind the men of Ai's backs. Very interesting. Now, Augustine, the early church father, said that it was never right to lie or to deceive. He used cases like Rahab and the midwives in the land of Egypt. Augustine was quite dogmatic on this point. These are his words. If a Christian takes refuge in your home, you cannot lie to the murderers that pursue them. They can only kill their body, but as a believer, their soul is saved forever. But if you lie for them, you lose your soul forever. Ooh. Now listen to Brother Augustine. Augustine considered this command absolute. But Augustine did not consider all the commands in Scripture to be absolute. He did not handle every verse as absolutely as he did the ninth commandment. All you have to do is go to Augustine, which is in here in the church library, and study his
Sermon on the Mount, and you see he says these things. Augustine did not handle Christ's words in the Sermon on the Mount absolutely. In Matthew 5:34, Christ commanded, "Swear not at all." Here's Augustine's comment. Augustine wrote, "There are times when we must swear an oath." And then on Matthew 5:39, when Jesus said, "Whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also," Augustine said, "Sometimes we need not turn the left cheek when our right cheek is struck." Of course, Brother Augustine, now in glory, applies a more consistent hermeneutic when he interprets Scripture than he did when he was on the earth. I rather choose to follow another church father whose name was Athanasius, the great defender of the Holy Trinity. When he was pursued on the road one day by the ruler's officers to arrest him because Augustine continued to stand for the doctrine of the Holy Trinity even when the Arians were in power. Athanasius, fleeing down the road from his pursuers, who were officers of the ruler, he was wearing a disguise. So when the officers overtook him, they did not recognize him. And they asked him, "Where is Athanasius?" He replied, "Oh, he's not far away. With a little more effort, you will be able to find him." Well, during the Reformation, soldiers approached a wagon pursuing a preacher, Hans Bucher. He was riding in that wagon with several other people. As the officer stopped the wagon, Hans suddenly stood up in the midst of all the others. And one of the soldiers immediately inquired, "Is Hans Bucher sitting among you?" "No," he replied in perfect honesty. And the soldiers rode quickly away. Well, Rahab.
All right, let's go to that instance now.
Rahab intentionally deceived the king's soldiers sent to her by telling them that the Hebrew spies were gone. But the Hebrew spies were not gone at all. They were up on the roof, hidden under the stacks of flax. And she later directed those spies to go.
She said, "The men are gone. If you go pursue after them, you'll overtake them."
Well, after the pursuers were gone, and that night, she let them down the wall by a rope. Her house was on the wall. And she told them to go another way and stay in the mountain for a while till the pursuers returned. Now, she did that. And God in His Word only records of Rahab words of praise. Praise for her faith. In more than one instance, she is mentioned in the New Testament in a good way. And besides that, He rewarded her with saving her and all of her family with her. And then we have the instance of the Hebrew midwives in Exodus chapter 1.
Pharaoh commanded them that when the Hebrew women give birth to a baby boy, you throw them in a river. If it's a girl, it's okay to save.
Well, these midwives, the Scripture says there in Exodus chapter 1 that they feared God. And when they were asked why baby boys were still living, the midwives told Pharaoh a lie. They said, "Well, the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They're so lively that by the time we get there, the baby's already born." Well, these circumstances were always, in each case, a matter of life and death. Never can these examples be followed unless it is a matter that will destroy lives. These are the exception to the rule. Now, if you understand, the Lord Jesus
said there were exceptions to the general rules. The command number 6, thou shalt not kill. A very absolute, thou shalt not commit murder. But the scripture also teaches that if someone breaks into a home at night, they break and enter, then you shoot them, you use the sword or whatever they use then to stop the intruder, then no blood would be shed for him. So that is not, as Augustine was trying to say, such a rule. There's not any exception. Okay. Now you take the command to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Jesus told the Pharisees, look, the priests that serve in the temple, they do not keep the Sabbath, as you're talking about. They serve in the temple on the Sabbath, and yet they're not held guilty for that. Every one of these commands, there are matters that the Lord shows us. Now, there's one last example I'm going to give here, and that will return to the Lord Himself speaking. Let's turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. You know, chapter 15 was where the Lord rejected Saul. Saul is not going to obey. He's going to take things into his own hands. He's going to do it his way. He's not going to do it the way I say. So Samuel mourned for Saul. We read there in the end of chapter 15. And in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Now notice, here is the kicker. Here is what Samuel says to the Lord. In verse 2, Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. All right. Samuel took a heifer and he did make a sacrifice, and he invited Jesse and his sons to the sacrifice with others there in Bethlehem. So he made the sacrifice, and he anointed David as king. What he did was true, but not entirely. God counseled him to use the deception of a sacrificial victim. The general rule from the ninth commandment is, speak the truth and nothing but the truth. That is the rule that we have to live by day. You can't use the lie of necessity as an excuse to lower God's standard. The exception is not the rule. The rule stands. When the Ten Boom family and others hid Jews during World War II, they were obligated to speak so that the refugees would be kept safe. Literally, if they had spoken just to turn them in, they would have been guilty of the deaths of those people. If a criminal comes to your house and asks if there are any women in your home, you are not obligated to tell him, oh yes, there are ladies in here, come on in. No. Not at all. The Ten Commandments are the standard. But we remember that it is the Lord. We are not following men. We are following what the Lord says to do and who the Lord commands. So it's very easy for commentators, it's very easy for preachers to crucify Rahab and the Egyptian midwives in Egypt, and such things, but not the Lord. The Lord, you know, we don't know what we're going to face. But you don't have to give someone who's looking to put somebody to death or to destroy their lives in any way. You do not have to speak to them the whole truth. Now, some of these men were very wise, like Athanasius. What he said, oh yeah, Athanasius is not far from here. If you look diligently, you'll find him. I think that's wonderful. And Hans Buescher, is Hans Buescher sitting among you? No, he's standing. No! So they leave. I think that's excellent. The truth does not change. God is the absolute ruler. He is the one who defines truth. He is truth. And what he does is truth. Because he is the standard.